Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhaktivedanta ki, Karantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Vididas Maharaj ki, Go Prem Anandi. So what did we discuss in last night's class? Hands up, who was here last night? Okay. You were here? Okay, most of you. Okay, so what did we discuss?
There are four ways you can surrender to Krishna. First one is by your words, then by your wealth, then by your intelligence, and you don't know what is
good. Good. What else? Good point. Anything else? Okay, so we finished that chapter. It's an important chapter. What was the chapter called? 22?
Krishna steals
these. The clothes of the gopis. So, Krishna steals the gopis' garments. Very good. So tonight we'll begin the next chapter, which is called The Brahmanas' Wives Are Blessed. So these are the Jagyik Brahmanas. Krishna has made the gopis fully surrender unto him. So now the Brahmanas, the wives of the Brahmanas, the Jagyapatis, sorry, the Jagyapatnis, they have also approach Krishna in a similar way to the gopis, with a similar desire to the gopis, but there's a difference in the qualification. So we'll hear about the gopis being the topmost devotees, and the Jagyik Brahmana's wives, the Jagyapatnis, and we'll see there's a difference in their adhikar, or their qualification to approach Krishna. Janesh, it's too late. You're going to have to come early. Yeah, it's not good enough. Okay, so text number one. The cowherd boy said, O Rama, Rama, mighty armed one, O Krishna, chastiser of the wicked, we are being harassed by hunger, and you should do something about it.
What have a bundle for?
The cowherd was jokingly implied that Sri Krishna is the subduer of all bad things. The Lord should subdue their hunger by arranging for them to eat. In this statement by the cowherd boys, we observe the intimate loving and friendship and enjoying the supreme personality of mortals.
So what are the points there? You have to speak loud, no one can hear you. So.
In the retreat last year, Jagannath Mohan spoke on this pastime, and she was mentioning actually when the boys are feeling hungry, they thought Krishna would be hungry too. So that is why they are telling Krishna to subdue their hunger, because they knew that if they said they are hungry, then Krishna would do something about it.
Good. Get a point? Any other points?
They're intimate enough in their relationship with him to joke with him and ask him simple things like that.
Good. So, what is being described here is Sakya Ras. So there is a intimacy in the relationship with Krishna. Krishna's friends, all of Krishna's devotees in Vrindavan, means those in Sakya Ras, those in Madhurya Ras, those in Vatsalya Ras, they all have the same mood of intimacy with Krishna. They're extremely close to Krishna. So the relationship is not mundane. In this material world, everyone is looking for ideal relationships. That is the goal of existence. The goal of existence is to exchange prema. Prema means love for Krishna. So the goal of existence is to exchange prema in intimate relationships. Means with one's friends, or one's parents, or one's conjugal lovers. That is the goal. So the only relationship which can fully satisfy all of us in intimacy is with Krishna, right? And with Krishna's pure devotees. Otherwise, we don't feel fully satisfied. Any relationship in the material world, whether it is conjugal between husbands and wives, or whether it is between parents and children, or whether it is between friends, you'll never find complete satisfaction. You'll never find complete intimate fulfillment within your heart, within your consciousness, because it can only be found with Krishna. So we see in the pages of the Bhagavatam, it's Prabhupada said, the pictures, windows into the spiritual world. It's like seeing into the spiritual world. So the descriptions are like that. They're descriptions of Krishna's pastime. And when we hear, it is like visualizing the spiritual world. We get an opportunity to see into the spiritual world, what it is like in the perfect relationships, exchanges of perfect intimacy between Krishna and his intimate friends. So Sri Chaitanya Prabhu was saying that this pastime, the boys are saying to Krishna, we're hungry. But the boys are hungry, but that's not their primary concern. It's like in this world, we get hungry, that's our primary concern. But when you love someone intensely, like the cowherd boys love Krishna, when that they may be hungry, but their main concern is, well, we're feeling hungry. So therefore, Krishna, he must also be feeling hungry. So this is the consciousness. Manmata means, how is the other person thinking? If I'm feeling in this way, then they must be feeling like that. It means that I'm feeling hungry, they must be feeling hungry simultaneously. So that is the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. They are feeling, oh, I am feeling like this, therefore Krishna must be having that experience. So that is their concern. You have to come forward, he's trying to get past. So that is their concern. Right? Their concern is not for them, but their concern is for Krishna. Right? So that is the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Krishna, I'm feeling hot, therefore Krishna must be feeling hot. I'm feeling cold or thirsty, Krishna must be cold or thirsty. I'm feeling hungry, Krishna must be hungry. That is their consciousness. So they don't have the consciousness of worrying about themselves, but they're always feeling, what is Krishna experiencing? So we need to learn that type of service in relationship to the deity. If I am cold, then the deity must be cold. That's why deity worship is necessary to purify the consciousness of the conditioned soul. And you see, when you're worshipping the deity, then that is the mentality. I am cold, the deity must be cold. I am hot, the deity must be hot. I am hungry, the deity must be hungry. As Prabhupada said, we don't feed the deity because he needs to eat, but because we think, oh, he's hungry. He is satisfied, but we think, oh, he must be hungry, so we feed him in that mood. So that is the consciousness. So Krishna's intimate associates, they're feeling like that. They're feeling that we need to please Krishna under all circumstances. So you see here, the cowherd boys, it says they are always joking with Krishna. That's the nature of the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada says Krishna is always blissful. Hands up if you want to be always blissful. Then there's only one way. You have to associate with Krishna. Because Prabhupada said he is always blissful. Now, if you always associate with him, you will always be blissful. You will feel blissful. Because he is blissful. He's bliss personified. So if we are associating with him through Naam, through chanting his holy name, Rupa, Nama, Rupa. Rupa means worshipping his deity form. Guna, remembering his qualities. Lila, thinking about absorbing ourselves in his pastimes. Dharma, Dham, the Dham means the holy Dham. Always absorbed in his holy Dham. In his associates. His Nichaparika. His eternal associate. If you're absorbed, then you will always feel blissful. It is the only remedy in this material world. Everyone in the material world, they think, well, I'll look for here for happiness, I'll look here for happiness. No one's happy. No one's feeling completely satisfied. But when you associate with Krishna, you will feel completely satisfied. You always feel happy. So you need to associate with Krishna constantly. By hearing about him, by chanting about him, by worshipping his deity form, in all of these principal angas of bhakti. So they're always making jokes with Krishna in the Sanskrit. They say to Krishna, "You are the destroyer of." Yeah, you are chastiser of the wicked, dushta, nirbahana, Rama Rama Mahabaho, they say to Balaram, Balaram, Balaram with mighty arms, Mahabaho, Krishna, dushta, nirbahana, dushta nirbahana means the destroyer of the wicked. So you are the destroyer of the wicked. Those things which cause distress to others, you destroy that. So they're saying to Krishna, they're in a joking mood. Krishna, you destroy those things which give distress. Our bellies are giving us distress. So why don't you do something about that? It's the coward boys are speaking to Krishna. What are you going to do? How are you going to deal with this hunger that we're experiencing? So they're joking with him. That's the mood. In Vrindavan, sometimes they say, no joke, no life. Running early today? At least you're here. I was forgetting what you look like. I saw you at the dinner the other night, so I thought, I used to know this guy. So they're feeling... In Vrindavan, it says, no joke, no life. Sometimes the Brijbasis say like that. Always there has to be some joke. Always there has to be some rasa. In the spiritual world, it is like that. Always, continuously, continuously. It's like a torrent of rain, just continuously. Just one joke after another. Krishna is... making fun of his friends. His friends are making fun of him just continuously. Sometimes they make Krishna cry. They say, your father's not black, your mother's not black, but you are dark. So obviously you're not their child. And Krishna gets very upset. He runs to Mother Yashoda. He says, why are my friends saying? They're saying you're not my parents. So they always creating some joke. So Krishna and the cowherd boys are exchanging like this. Now, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in his commentary that the worst enemy, that's some Vedic saying, some aphorism. The worst enemy in this material world is hunger. That's the worst suffering, actually. None of us know that. Hands up if you've ever been hungry. Yeah, not really. You know, you've never been in a situation in your life where you haven't had something to eat. None of us have experienced that. But there are many people. Leela Mani, quarter part, it's not acceptable. I know you're going to go, like that. You're sick, and you're going to make a million excuses. It's not acceptable. Just get it through your head. Okay? Do you understand anything I say? It's not acceptable. 8 o'clock, or don't come. Okay, good. So, I have to make this point so people actually get it through their thick heads. So, the worst suffering in this world is hunger. That is the worst. And none of us have ever experienced that. We've never experienced hunger in this world. But actually, if you experience it, it's the worst suffering. To not be able to eat. So you see, the cowboys, they're joking with Krishna. Do something about this. This terrible enemy is attacking us. The most difficult thing in this world is attacking us. So they're making a joke with Krishna. And then Krishna says, no problem. We can deal with that. So that's the mood of the cowherd boys. So intimate with Krishna that they will say to Krishna, Krishna, we are feeling hungry. What will you do about it? But actually, all they mean is that you must be hungry because you have not eaten. So this is the mood of the pure devotees, always thinking about Krishna's service. So, any points?
About Madhu Mangal, always joking with Madhu Mangal. Madhu Mangal, always teasing Krishna.
Yeah. And always hungry. Sometimes he eats a million ladus.
Yeah.
See, Leela Mani, you come late and you disrupt the whole class and you can't understand. You just continuously do it. It's insulting. You know, if you don't come at 8 o'clock, just don't bother coming. You know, it doesn't bother me in any way, shape or form. It's nonsense. Okay. Verse 2. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus entreated by the cowherd boys, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Devaki, replied as follows. Desiring to please certain of his devotees who were brahmanas' wives. So he understands, Krishna understands that the dvijapatnis, which means the wives of the brahmanas, they have a desire to associate with Krishna intimately. It's a conjugal desire. Same as what the gopis have. The gopis have this conjugal desire, they want to be with Krishna. And now the dvijapatnis, they have this same conjugal desire. They want to be with Krishna. They want to serve Krishna. So Krishna, he knows. He has entered this part of the forest. Where does this pastime take place? If you do Vrindavan Parikram, and you go around the backside, and then when you're going up the backside, and then suddenly there's a sharp right again, that's called Akruragat. You remember that place? Akruragat? It's like a sharp right. And then just there's a place where Vyasadeva wrote the 10th canto. You remember that place? Yeah, just there. So over the back of that place, it's kind of in the fields, it's about a kilometer away in the fields, there's a mound. Like it's like a small hill, Tila, small hill. And on top of that place, that's where the pastime took place, Krishna and the Jagik Brahmanas. So Krishna has brought the cows and the cowherd boys into this part of Vrindavan. And then when he's arrived there, then he's arranged, or Yogamaya has arranged, the boys become hungry because he understands the entire reason is that he wants to reciprocate with the dvijapatnis. Because he understands in their heart they have a desire to intimately associate with him as their husband. So he understands. That's why this whole pastime is being orchestrated, because he just wants to bring them close to him. Lord Krishna said, please go to the sacrificial arena where a group of brahmanas learned in the Vedic injunctions are now performing the Angi Rasa sacrifice to gain promotion to heaven. So, what does this pastime represent?
According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Chaitanya Shikshamrita.
Has anyone researched it or seen it? What does this, you know, each demon is representing a particular thing? Huh? What was the last one that we covered? Pralamba was there? Now, was there anything before Pralamba? What was after Pralamba? Pralamba was chapter 19. No. Chapter 19 was Pralamba. 20, what was chapter 20? 21 is Krishna steals the garments. So it's been back since Pralamba, we haven't heard. So Pralamba represents attachment to sex desire and the need to give up that attachment to name, fame, profit, adoration, distinction. Now, this pastime represents the fault of being indifferent towards Krishna due to being proud of having a high birth, right? In the Varnashram system. So we become proud. Oh, I am born in this family. May not be so prevalent in the West. Western people get proud. I mean, they're poor, they're rich or something, they get proud. But more in India, it's like I'm in this family. You know, and then we won't speak to those people, or we won't touch those people, or we won't have any association with those people. They become artificially proud, according to Varnashram. And because of that, you become like indifferent towards Krishna. Because I am so important, we can worship. You know, and then you start making, because of your material position, you start making judgments even on God, and being disrespectful to Him. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you become proud of your high birth, your austerity, your knowledge, and your ritualistic sacrifices, dharma. So I'm so austere. I am so learned. Even sometimes you hear devotees say this, I'm a brahmana. Have you ever heard that? Have you heard that? Okay. Yeah, sometimes devotees say, I am the brahmana. Well, I've heard devotees say like that. I am Brahmana. Even in ISKCON. ISKCON devotees.
Sometimes if Shavala says in Vrindavan, I am Brahmana, I would say.
Yeah, that's a different thing. Different thing. When the rickshaw waller in Vrindavan said, that's also foolish. But even I hear in ISKCON, I've heard devotees. You know, but they say, I am a Brahmana. But this is the anatta. I am superior. But then you'll commit offences. Because it develops a pride or an abhiman that I am superior. And then that may even mean you may even become indifferent to Krishna. Because maybe in your worship or your service, you may think, well, it's all based on the respect that I get. That's the main thing. Krishna, I still worship Krishna, but mainly based on what I get. Profit, adoration, distinction. I get followers, I get wealth, I get these things. So it's a defect. So the brahmanas had this abhiman. Cover your mouth when you... The brahmanas had this abhiman. Abhiman means mental conception that I am better than someone else. And because they had that, they could not approach Krishna. It's a defect in their consciousness. Okay. Text number 4. When you go there, my dear cowherd boys, simply request some food. Declare to them the name of my elder brother, the Supreme Lord Balaram, and also my name, and explain that you have been sent by us.
Jagannath Ram Prabhu.
Lord Krishna encouraged his boyfriends to request charity without being embarrassed. In case the boys felt they had no right to personally approach such respectable brahmanas, the Lord told them to mention the names of Balaram and Krishna, the holy names of God.
So what are the points there?
India is being misused by the letters. They are telling that Allah is not a devil. You tell it in the name of God. Culturally,
It means that if someone approaches us, we should give them charity. We should give them honor means food stuff, like that. Probably better not to give money, because you know money they're going to misuse. But you give them food, that should be there. So here, this is a test for the Brahmanas, because they have materialistic vision. So Krishna is going to test, what is their consciousness? He sends the boys. We'll see, how do they react? What will be their mentality towards us? He says, when you go there, my dear cowherd boys, request some food, declare them in the name of my elder brother, because Krishna thinks they are Brahmanas. They're very caught up in this whole thing, I'm a Brahmana. So Balaram is known to be born from a Kshatriya. Kshatriya, so he's a king, he's the son of the king. So Krishna says, ask in his name. Because you ask in my name, I'm a Vaishya. I'm known to be amongst the Vaishyas. They probably won't give anything. But they'll think, oh, at least he's a Kshatriya, we can give something to him. So Krishna is going to test their vision, because they're materialistic in their consciousness. So this chapter is very important, because it shows us the correct attitude we need to approach Krishna. Because sometimes we all do, we all suffer from this mentality. I am so important, I can just walk into a classroom any time I want. This is the abhimana, this is the mentality. I can come late for a class, that doesn't matter, because I'm so important. So this is the abhimana, this is the mentality. I can do what I want and no one can tell me anything. So if you have this consciousness, how will you advance in Krishna consciousness? It's not possible. Not possible. We do the same thing for year after year after year, not making advancement. Why? Because you don't get the point. The point is, the Brahmana, if you have this mentality, I'm superior to others, you can't advance in Krishna consciousness. You have to think, I am a humble servant. And when you approach that mentality, then you make progress in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna wants to test them. And he wants to show everyone, what is the mentality? How do you advance properly? Thus instructed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cowherd boys went there and submitted their request. They stood before the Brahmanas with palms joined in supplication, and then fell flat on the ground to offer respect. So, one very important point. What did the cowherd boys do? Offer obeisances, like a dandavat, like when you go before the deity. These are Brahmana. These are powerful Brahmanas, so they offer the receipt. But interesting point. These cowherd boys are Krishna's eternal associates. They're much more qualified than these Brahmanas. Much more. The Brahmanas don't even count. These are like Krishna's, but they show Vaishnava humility. A Vaishnava is known for his humility. If one is not humble, one is not a Vaishnava. That is the quality of the Vaishnava. So these very exalted people, they would bow down. Prabhupada was like that. Prabhupada was an eternal associate of Krishna. Prabhupada was out of the Bhagavatam. He was out of the Krishna book. Prabhupada walked straight out of the Krishna book, to associate with us. He was one of Krishna's eternal servants. But in this way, he was very humble, very respectful to other people. Even when he went down here, Prabhupada, just over there, the next block, there was that block of land for sale, just over there, and they had a church there. They ended up buying this one, but first they were looking down there. And Prabhupada went into the church, and there was a statue of Lord Jesus. And Prabhupada offered pranam. He said, because he is our guru. That's a Vaishnava. So Prabhupada is showing us the perfect example. The cowherd boys are showing us the perfect example. Now, what's the danger here for the Brahmanas? The danger for the Brahmanas is they're in Vrindavan. Now, when you go to Vrindavan, or Mayapur or Jagannath Puri, you have to be very careful. Right? When you're not in Vrindavan, you have to be very careful. What to speak of being in Vrindavan? So they're in Vrindavan, and many, you see, you go to Vrindavan, and there's all these same people we're reading about here, they're in Vrindavan right now. All these Brahmanas are just interested in making money and all these things. They're living in Vrindavan, but that's not the right consciousness of Vrindavan. The consciousness of Vrindavan is that you just become a humble servant of the servant of Krishna. That is the whole mood. If you're not in that mood, you get smashed in Vrindavan or in Mayapur and Jagannath Puri. You must be in the right consciousness. So Krishna says to the boys, go and see the Brahmanas. And the Brahmanas not in the right mood, they get smashed. Their ego is crushed by Krishna. So you have to be very careful. Right? They're in the holy dharma, but they're not acting properly. The cowherd boy said, O earthly gods, please hear us. We cowherd boys are executing the orders of Krishna, and we have been sent here by Balaram. We wish all good for you. Please acknowledge our arrival. Shri Chaitanya.
The term Bhumideva, God on earth, refers to the Brahmanas, who are supposed to closely represent the will of the Supreme Lord. The philosophy of Krishna consciousness is not a primitive polytheistic doctrine holding that human beings on the earth are gods. Rather, it is a science that traces the descent of authority from the Absolute Truth Himself, Sri Krishna. The authority and power of God naturally extend along with the extension of His creation, and on the earth, the Lord's will and authority are represented by purified, enlightened men called Brahmanas. This account will illustrate that the ritualistic Brahmanas approached by the carpet boys were not at all properly enlightened, and thus could not appreciate the position of Krishna and Balaram, or that of their intimate associates. In fact, this pastime exposes the pretentious position of so-called Brahmanas, who are not faithful devotees of the Supreme Lord.
Mm. So, any points there?
I'm guessing that these particular Brahmanas weren't, but not all of them in that time were pretentious, because there were many that Krishna's father gave lots of charity to, and there are very good Brahmanas,
of course,
too.
Okay. Yeah.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
It's not just saying all Brahmanas are pretentious.
Not all, no. You have to look at the individual. Any other points?
One point is Krishna consciousness is not just a sentimental approach where you feel that you're the person in the court, it's like a science, you have a process you have to follow. The foundation.
What's being pointed out here is that a Brahmana is someone who's meant to represent Krishna. If you look at the word literally, what does the word Brahman mean? Brahman. The general translation or interpretation we give of Brahman is spirit. So a Brahmana is one who is absorbed in spirit. In other words, he realizes his spiritual position and the spiritual position of Krishna himself, of God himself. So that is the Brahmana's qualification. The Brahmana's qualification is he's meant to represent Krishna. He's not meant to obscure Krishna's position. Now, these Brahmanas, they're obscuring Krishna's position. They're doing all the yajnas, doing all the pujas, doing the whole thing. You know, they do all the mudras and like that. They do everything, but they don't understand Krishna, and they don't bring others to Krishna. So if you are not qualified, do not speak. Well, this is an important point in Vedic culture. You don't speak unless you are qualified to speak. You know, you go out in the marketplace and speak prajalpa as much as you want, gramyakata, go out in the world and speak, everyone's speaking. But the point is, in spiritual life, if you don't have qualification, don't open your mouth. Especially when you're speaking to your teacher. Right? Don't open your mouth. Don't give a verbal argument. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, do not verbally argue with the teacher. That's just a lack of etiquette and qualification. The nature of a devotee is that if he's qualified, he will speak. You must be qualified. That is a brahmana. Brahmana means he knows what he is speaking about. He can bring you to Krishna. Right? He himself is absorbed in service to Krishna. That's the actual qualification of a brahmana. So therefore, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's guru, taught us, a real brahmana is a Vaishnava. Right? If you meet someone who's not a Vaishnava, they may be a brahmana, but if they're not a Vaishnava, they're not qualified to be guru, to instruct us, and to take us back to Krishna. So this is the qualification. But these brahmanas, they are not qualified. Therefore, they're rejected by Krishna. Lord Krishna, Lord Rama and Lord Achyutya are tending their cows not far from here. They are hungry and want you to give them some of your food. Therefore, O Brahmanas, O best of the knowers of religion, if you have faith, please give some food to them. Nilagop.
The cowherd boy doubted the generosity of the Brahmanas, and thus they used the word Mugukshita, meaning that Krishna and Bhakrama are in it. The boys expected the Brahmanas to know the very condition, unless they are Kudukum Abdham. Anyone who is hungry is a fit candidate for receiving food in charity. But if the Brahmanas wouldn't recognize the authority of Krishna and Bhakrama, their title Jaja would be taken to mean that it be born from two parents. Be from two job born rather than twice born. So when the Brahmanas did not respond to the coward boys' initial request, the boys addressed the Brahmanas with a slight trace of sarcasm. Yes, Dharma, the best of the nuts of religion.
What are the points there?
I think the cowherd boys were somehow trying to give them another chance to do the right thing by...
Yeah, they asked them several times. But they work out very quickly they're not qualified. Anything else?
They try everything that they can to give something.
Yeah. They're trying their best, but they know these boys are not qualified. So... A brahmana has six activities. What are the six activities? What does it mean? They teach people about Krishna and they study the Shastra. Right? So first two. They study, they teach. Right? Second two. Right? They accept charity. Brahmanas live on charity. And they distribute charity, because they always have more, not always, but many have more than what they need. So if they get too much, then they give the rest to everyone else. And then they perform jagya, and they teach others how to perform jagya. So these are the six activities of the brahmana. Now Prabhupada says, of the six, teaching and studying are the most important for the brahmana. That's the brahmana's most important activity. He must study the shastra. A brahmana must be learned. He must know the Shastra and then he must teach it to others. That's his main activity. But he must also give charity. This is important. Right? A Brahmana must give in charity. Right? You read in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's that Brahmana in South India in the beginning. And he is so wealthy. He's incredible. And actually, it's not described here in the Bhagavatam. But if you read Ananda Vrindavan Champu, it says that the Brahmana's wives were sitting on asanas made of gold. The wives, the seats in the house were made of gold, like golden, like, you know, a Prabhupada sits on, but made of gold, real gold. That's what they were seeing. The wives of the Brahmana, it says they were effulgent. So they give charity, they receive charity. The Brahmanas are given so much charity. These Brahmanas are very powerful. So they were given so much charity. They had so much, they fed everyone else. Now that is the duty of the Brahmana. He must feed everyone. Actually, it's the duty of the devotee. Prabhupada said, if you are grihastha, before you take prasadam, you have to go outside your house and chant three times, prasadam, prasadam, prasadam. Is anyone hungry? Is anyone? Three times, you have to ask. And if anyone's there walking past on Beaconsfield Parade, you have to pull them in your house and you have to give them prasad. You're doing this or not? No, you're not doing it, are you? But actually, that's your duty. Prabhupada said that you must do it. You must feed the others. You don't get purified as a Brahmana unless you give charity. And actually, as a Grihastha, specifically, dana is the religious principle of the Grihastha. If you don't give charity, you don't get purified. It's important to understand. So a Brahmana means he must be liberal. Brahmanas must liberally give. How do you know when you're giving enough? How do you know? What's that? Yeah, when you feel it. When you feel the pain, then you know it's the right amount. Right? If you're not feeling any discomfort, then you're not giving enough. Now you can go to the dinner, the, what do you call it? Fundraising dinner. You give $1,000, but if you're not feeling anything, it didn't mean anything. So you give 5 or 10 or 20, then you start feeling. Like that first boy gave 20. So, you know, you have to feel something. You give 20,000 bucks, you must be feeling something. I don't know if he was. Maybe he's got 5 million. So in that case, he should be giving more. But unless you're feeling something, it's sacrificed. That's what it means, sacrifice. When you feel like something is given, then, you know, if you have $1,000 and you can't find $1, it doesn't mean, oh, okay, I just lost a dollar. But if you've got $1,000, you can't find 500. And you, okay, well, why don't you start getting worried? So that's what charity means like that. Right? When you feel some sacrifice is taking place. So the Brahmanas, that is their duty to give sacrifice, to give charity. But here, the boys come and they don't give anything. So they're useless. And they're so rich, their wives are sitting on golden seats. And they can't even give Krishna and Balaram some food. Except during the interval between the initiation of the performer of a sacrifice and the actual sacrifice of the animal, O most pure Brahmanas, it is not contaminating for even the initiated to partake of food, at least in sacrifices other than sotra mani. So this is interesting. How old are Krishna's friends? Yeah, they're young. They're boys. Krishna at this point, I think next chapter is called what?
Worshipping Govardhan.
So when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, I think Prabhupada says he was 7 or 8. So it means his friends are 7 or 8. And they're coming to these Brahmanas and they're saying, except for during the Sotra Mani sacrifice. But in generally, between this period of time and this period, I mean, this is how advanced these... They're just cowherd boys. But they know the ins and outs of Vedic culture. They're brilliant. Just like Sparsh, you know, this boy. Braja Nas boy. Right? So he just got the scholarship to Oxford. So he's got a... It means he has a brilliant mind. You know, like some ordinary might be very brilliant. So devotee children are sometimes like that, very specially intelligent. So the cowherd boys are like that. They're just boys, but they're so intelligent. And they say to the Brahmanas, at this point in time, you can give. It's okay. And these are like learned Brahmanas. But the little boys again, they say, no, it's okay. You can give something. That's no problem at this point in time. Except in that sacrifice you shouldn't give, but in this sacrifice that's okay, we'll give. That's how brilliant these boys are. This is Krishna's eternal associates, and when Krishna's associates come to this world, they show that kind of brilliance, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the highest placed Indian in the British Raj. The British were ruling India at that time, but he was a high court magistrate. There was no other Indian-bodied person in the whole of the British Raj who held that position. Everyone else who was a high court judge was British. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so brilliant, he became the highest placed Indian in the whole of India. It's a very powerful position. Because he's a devotee of Krishna, he's come from the spiritual world, and then he is showing so much potency. So the Kaurava boys, they're just boys, but they come up and they say, yeah. You know, they know the system of Jagya better than the Brahmanas themselves. The Brahmanas heard this supplication from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet they refused to pay heed. Indeed, they were full of petty desires and entangled in elaborate rituals. Though presuming themselves advanced in Vedic learning, they were actually inexperienced fools. So, Mahatmaji.
These childish Brahmanas were full of petty desires, such as desire to attain the material heaven, and therefore they could not recognize the golden transcendental opportunity offered them by the arrival of Krishna's personal boyfriend. Presently, throughout the world, people are madly pursuing material advancement and thus cannot hear the message of the Supreme Lord Krishna that is being broadcast through the missionary activities of Krishna Consciousness Movement. Times have hardly changed and proud materialistic beliefs are still prevalent on the earth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Prabhupada mentioned when they were doing the installation of duty in Vrindavan, the Brahmanas, they were called only for formality, but actually devotees were doing the kirtan. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama. Loud voice. The priests were also chanting their mantra, but nobody was paying any heed to that. They were listening to it. Pure transcendental chanting only.
Good point. Anything else? So, if you are too materialistic in consciousness, then you cannot hear. So we see all around the world, why aren't more people becoming devotees? Why aren't people becoming devotees? Because they're too materialistic in their consciousness. We can say all these things, but they can't understand it. You can't even, like what we're speaking about now, you go out and then you meet someone. You know, we can't speak to them about these things because they can't understand it, they can't hear it. Their consciousness is so covered by the material energy. And that's why we have to be very careful about associating with the material energy. Janasangash chalo yamcha. Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita, second verse, he says, Shabir Bhaktir Vinashati. Six things destroy bhakti. Achahara, Priyashascha, Prajalpo, Niyamagraha, Janasangas, Loyam, right? But of the six, which one breeds all of the others? Janasangha. Right? Janasangha means association with materialists. You associate with materialists, you'll over-endeavor. You'll over-accumulate. You look at everyone here. I saw something the other day, one clip on YouTube or something. And a famous actor British actor. His name is Jeremy Irons. I don't know if you've heard of him or not. He won an Academy Award. He's quite an intelligent man. So he was saying, all the people these days, they just work. This is what culture tells us. You have to work. When you meet someone, what's the first thing you say? What sort of a job do you have? Who do you work for? Right? So how we identify ourselves these days. Why? Achahara, just over-endeavor. Why? Priyashas, so you can over-collect. So he says, these days we just work, 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 hard, hard, hard. Right? And then at the end of the week, we have 2 days off to go and buy things. Work hard. The people are making you work hard, so on the days off, you'll just go and buy all the things they want you to buy. They give you the money so they can take all your money. In India, they're even smarter. Right? If you're driving from Delhi to Mathura, about Delhi to Vrindavan, you go up the freeway, and then the big factories are all the way up the freeway. And as you're going up, everyone goes in, they work hard, right, in the factory, and then on the outside of the factory, on the boundary wall, is a liquor shop, right, owned by the factory. So you work hard, they give you money, you come out, you give the money, and it goes back into the factory. And the fools can't even see it. Right? They can't even, that's called mudha. Mudha means an ass. You're acting like an ass, you can't even see it. You work hard, and the money just goes back in. So all these people, they're just working hard, so on the weekend they can go and buy all this stuff and the money just goes back into the same people. 1% of the American population own the rest of America. 1% own 95% of the economy. So it's all the same people just running everything. We just work hard and all these different businesses and it all just goes back to the same people. So if you're materialistic in consciousness, you cannot hear the philosophy. So we have to be very careful about associating with materialistic people, because we become like them. And if you become like them, you just act like a materialist. And then you can't understand Krishna's instructions. And that's what's happening here. The Brahmanas, they're so materialistic, they're so proud that I am a Brahmana, they can't hear the cowherd voice. The cowherd voice says, please do something for Krishna. But they don't even say anything, they just stay silent, just looking at them arrogantly. The cowherd boys just think, who are these guys? They go back to Krishna, we'll hear what they say. He's interesting. Although the ingredients of sacrificial performance, the place, the time, particular paraphernalia, mantras, rituals, priests, fires, demigods, performer, offering, and the as yet unseen beneficial results are all simply aspects of his opulences. The Brahmanas saw Lord Krishna as an ordinary human being because of their perverted intelligence. They failed to recognize that he is the supreme absolute truth, the direct manifest personality of Godhead, whom the material senses cannot ordinarily perceive. Thus, bewildered by their false identification with the mortal body, they did not show him proper respect. So all of these things, right? It says here, the place, the time, the paraphernalia, the mantras, the rituals, the priests, the fires, the demigods, the performer, the offering, everything is for one purpose. What is the purpose of all of it?
Satisfaction.
Yeah, to offer to Krishna. Right? It's all for Krishna. Right? If you don't use everything for Krishna, it's useless. Shrama eva hi kevala. It is shrama. Shrama means no value. Whatever you have, if you don't use that for Krishna, it doesn't have any value. Right? If you don't use your money, if you don't use your paraphernalia, if you don't use your assets, if you don't use your belongings, if you don't use everything, your intelligence, all these things for Krishna, what's the point? What's the point of having all this if you're not using it for Krishna? When the Brahmanas failed to reply, even with a simple yes or no, a chastiser of the enemy, Parikshit, the cowherd boys returned disappointed to Krishna and Rama and reported this to them. So, what does Shukadeva Goswami call Maharaj Parikshit? Yeah, a chastiser of the enemy. What does Krishna call Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita? Parantapa. Same name, right? Krishna calls Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita Parantapa. Parantapa means one who chastises the enemy. Now, Maharaj Pariksit, because Shukadeva is speaking to him, he sees, he's looking at Maharaj Pariksit and he's preaching to him. And when he's telling this pastime, he says, the Brahmana is not giving any to Krishna. You can see Maharaj Pariksit becomes angry. And he's a king, he's a powerful Kshatriya. So he says, oh Parantapa, oh Chastity, if you were there, you would chastise these Brahmanas. You would go and say, hey, give to Krishna. So what is the general principle? The general principle is, if you do not chastise, if you're the senior personality and you do not chastise someone who is junior, who is doing the wrong thing, you're not doing your duty. And if someone comes to class late, you have to tell them nonsense to come on time. Right? Otherwise they don't learn, and still they don't learn. Right? Same thing, if someone is not doing the right thing, we have to tell them. That is your duty, just like with your children. Yeah, if your children are doing something nonsense, right? If you don't chastise them, how do they improve? So in the same way, if you are the senior personality, it is your duty to chastise, to correct.
These are spoiled children.
Yeah, otherwise they're spoiled. So same thing, then Shukadeva Goswami says to Pariksit, if you were there, immediately, you would do something about this. You wouldn't let the Brahmanas just... Yeah, immediate preacher would come and say to the Brahmins, what are you doing? This is Krishna himself. You're not offering anything to Krishna? That's why when you go to Vrindavan and these places, you know, all these money-hungry so-called Brahmanas come. Yeah, you should not give them too much money, if any. Don't give too much. Give your money to ISKCON. Support the preaching of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Not all these ones. Yeah, I go to Vrindavan, and there's always these, they recognize me, because they see me coming every year. Yeah, same guys, they come up to me, and as soon as they see me, oh, where's the money? Virtually, they walk up to me virtually, like, oh, Prabhuji. Like that, you know, virtually they hand it, where's the money? And I just say, oh, I'm going to give to this guy. Sometimes I tell them directly, I say, you don't use the money for the deity. What are you using the money for? Is this money going to the deity? Is it? Why are you so hungry for the money? The consciousness is not correct. So we should give money to the right place. We should give money to support ISKCON. Hearing what had happened, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of the Universe, simply laughed. Then he again addressed the cowherd boys, showing them the way men act in this world. So Prabhupada points out in the Krishna book, he says, this is the nature of begging. When you go out begging, what will happen? You'll be rejected. That's why Prabhupada said everyone in ISKCON should learn the art of book distribution. Prabhupada said that. Every single one of us, hands up if you have gone out in book distribution before. So you have to learn. Prabhupada said. Everyone should learn how to do book distribution. Right? Because when you go out in book distribution, you get rejected. 9 out of 10 people. Yeah, maybe not 9 out of 10, but 5 out of 10. They'll reject you. They'll walk off. Hey, not interested. Even when Prabhupada used to go out. Prabhupada used to go out himself in Delhi in 1960, even before the 60s, early 60s, late 50s, Prabhupada used to go out. And people would say, no time. This is back then when people had time. And they would say to Prabhupada, no time. Prabhupada wrote an article, no time. And always, no time. Prabhupada said, this is the disease of the modern man, no time. To read Bhakti Godhead magazine or Srimad Bhagavatam. If you don't have time to read the Bhagavatam, you don't have time to read Prabhupada's books, then what are you doing with your life? You have time to do so many other things. Why don't you have time? So Prabhupada said, actually, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says in his commentary, we must learn to control anger. If you go to the first verse of the Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction, what is the first verse? Vacho Vegan. Manasa Krota Begum. Rupa Goswami says you have to control, right? Vacha. Vacha means your speech. Manasa means your mind. Right? And Krota means your anger. If you don't get, he says this in the very first verse, if you can't control anger, you can't advance in Krishna consciousness. You must learn to control anger because it's there in all of us. Anger means frustrated desire, but you must control anger. If you can't control it, you can't advance in Krishna consciousness properly. So Krishna says in the very beginning to the cowherd boys, you have to learn to control your anger. He smiles. Krishna doesn't get upset. You know, imagine if one of us were like this. One of our friends came and said, oh, I went over there and I asked them to give something for you. But they said, no, they just ignored it. They said, you're not worth giving anything to. You'd say, who are these guys? You get angry. But Krishna, he just smiles. And he says to the cowherd boys, he says, this is the nature of begging. You have to learn to control your anger. Right? When you go out to visit these people, you're dealing with materialists. This is what they're like. So Krishna is teaching us how to act. Lord Krishna said, tell the wives of the Brahmanas that I have come here with Lord Sankarsana. They will certainly give you all the food you want, for they are most affectionate toward me and indeed, with their intelligence, reside in me alone. The cowherd boys then went to the house where the Brahmanas' wives were staying. There the boys saw those chaste ladies sitting, nicely decorated with fine ornaments, bowing down to the Brahmana ladies. The boys addressed them in all humility. The cowherd boys said, obeisances unto you, O wives of the learned Brahmanas. Kindly hear our words. We have been sent here by Lord Krishna, who is passing by not far from here. He has come a long way with the cowherd boys and Lord Balaram, tending the cows. Now he is hungry, so some food should be given to him and his companions. The wives of the Brahmanas were always eager to see Krishna, for their minds had been enchanted by descriptions of him. Thus, as soon as they heard that he had come, they became very excited. So it actually says, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, when they heard the word Krishna, the cowherd boys came and they said, Krishna and Balaram are just over there. And as soon as they heard the names Krishna and Balaram, they became stunned. So they were stunned in ecstasy. And in their minds, they thought, damn this ecstasy. Right? If you go into the nectar of devotion, Daruka, who is Daruka?
Chariot.
Krishna's driver. He drives Krishna's chariot. So one time, Nectar of Devotion says, he was fanning Krishna with the chamara. And when he's fanning Krishna, tears came in his eyes. And because he was crying, he couldn't see Krishna. You know, when your tears are so much tear, you can't see properly. So then he said, damn these tears. Even though I'm feeling so much ecstasy, but the tears are coming. And now I can't see Krishna. Damn them. So the wives of the Brahmanas, they became stunned when they heard the word Krishna. But in their minds, they were stunned. But in their minds, they were thinking, damn this. I need to start getting the food to take out to offer to Krishna. What's the use of this ecstasy? I can't serve Krishna. So this is prema. We're just absorbed in our own little minds, our own little consciousness, but when you're in prema, you don't think of yourself. You just think of Krishna. Krishna is hungry. The problem is in the material world, people think of themselves too much. Right? Everyone's thinking, oh, I'm like this. No, but when you're a devotee, you think of Krishna. You don't even have time to think of yourself. You're so absorbed in serving Krishna. Okay, final verse. Taking along in large vessels the four kinds of foods full of fine tastes and aromas, all the ladies went forth to meet their beloved, just as the rivers flow toward the sea. So what rasa are the dvijapatnis in? Conjugal. And what is it like when you're in conjugal, Ross? When you're attached to a girl, you think back in your life. When you're attached to a girl, or when a girl is attached to a boy, what is it like? Yeah, it's like a river running. Think of what you thought of your wife or your husband before you got married. Don't think now, because now it's all it's all finished now, right? The good days are gone. When you used to be in love, think like that. Never happened? When you were bewildered, right? Before you got married. That was the last time, right? So when you're like that, we all know what it's like. At that time, nothing can stop you, right? You're sending texts 12 times a day, right? Oh, how are you? I am good. How are you? Are you hungry? Yes, I am hungry. How are you? I am mother. Huh?
No mobile.
No mobile then. Okay. So you missed all the good. You don't know what I'm talking about. You're so, yeah. You're obviously so advanced that you don't understand. But for those of us in the material world, so we're trying to understand. So we have this attachment. So the Dvijapatnis are so attached to Krishna, nothing can stop them from going to Krishna. It's like a river runs to the ocean. They just have to be with Krishna. Right? So they're willing to give up everything. They all they know is Krishna and Balaram are over there. I'm just leaving right now. They just grab everything and they just walk into the forest. And their husbands are saying, hey, come back. Now. Right? And they don't even listen. They just go. So the only time you don't have to listen to your husband is when you're going to Krishna. For the rest of the time, you must listen to your husband. That was just a personal comment. Okay. So next week, next Monday, we'll finish chapter 23. And then we'll finish chapter 24, which is Govardhan, first half of the Govardhan Leela. Have you got your calendar there? Oh, it's on your phone. Anyone got the calendar? The last classes will be the 18th, 19th, I think it is, of October. Is it October?
19th,
got
starts.
Is
that
October?
Yeah, that's October.
That's October, okay. So, 16th, okay, so 18th. 17th, 18th, I'm going 20th. So, how about we make the exam, will be the 18th of, you want a Tuesday, right? Tuesday, okay. So 18th of October, that will be the exam. 18th. So the week before, on the Tuesday will be the 11th, we'll have the overview of the 19th. The final chapters, which will be chapter 17 to 24. Like that. So the overview will be on the 11th. Is that what I said?
Yeah.
Just disappeared. Oh God, it's not there. I'm sorry.
11th.
Is that what I said? 11th. And what was the other one?
18th.
That's the exam. Okay. Like that. So your open book topics must be completed by the 11th. So how long is that now?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. That's enough time. 3 weeks. Okay. So 11th. All right. Because I'm going to India. Right. So if I don't get them by the 11th, then don't give them to me because I won't have time to mark them. Okay, so that will be the final. So 11th will be the overview, and your oral presentations and your open book exams have to be finished on the 11th. And then the 18th, that'll be the final exam, post book exam. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Jai. Jai.